WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
CBS News Brief. While the president calls it his big, beautiful bill, Democratic House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries does not.
I rise today in strong opposition to Donald Trump's one big, ugly bill.
He's been speaking on the House floor for over 2 hours as lawmakers debate the bill ahead of a final vote. Republican Congressman Jason Smith pushing for its passage.
Let's get this done, Mr. Speaker.
A deadly night in Chicago. 4 were killed, 14 injured during a drive-by shooting outside a nightclub. CBS's Darius Johnson.
Witnesses tell us as people were leaving the lounge, a black SUV with multiple shooters inside pulled up and opened fire.
A judge denied bail for Sean Diddy Combs, but his attorney says
the bail, I think, is besides the point. He was acquitted of the trafficking. He was acquitted of the RICO.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Another officer was shot in an early morning shooting in Shorewood. A Shorewood police officer and two others were wounded in a shooting at just before 3 a.m. near Bartlett Avenue and Kenmore Place. Fox 6 reports the officer was protected by a bulletproof vest and is in stable condition. We're working on learning more about what happened. The biennial budget was signed into law at just after 1:30 this morning. Governor Tony Evers had his pen out early. It capped a marathon legislative session that saw bipartisan support and some opposition from both parties. The $111.1 billion plan includes major investments in health care and education. You can read all about what's included online today. Check out WAUKradio.com. If you're looking for fireworks tonight or to avoid them, several communities will light up the sky. Shows are going off in Muskego, Menominee Falls, and Waukesha. The city of Milwaukee debuts a new drone show tonight at McKinley Beach. That's said to be designed as an environmentally friendly alternative to traditional fireworks. There will be, of course, more fireworks displays tomorrow. There are 5th of July fireworks in some areas, including Big Bend, East Troy, and Oak Creek. One of the busiest holiday travel seasons of the year is already underway, according to AAA of Wisconsin. Lisa Hale has more.
AAA of Wisconsin says they expect nearly 1.5 million residents to hit the roads this week, with another nearly 60,000 hopping on a flight and over 100,000 scooting across the country in trains and buses. The nearly 1.5 million drivers would be a 2.5% increase over last year's July 4th travel season. Officials also are advising residents to plan ahead for extra traffic and drive carefully through Sunday evening.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The series finale. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets square off for game 3 of their series tonight. The two teams stand at one game apiece. Yesterday, the Brewers won the first of a doubleheader, 7-2. The Mets went on to win the nightcap, 7-3. Milwaukee's Jacob Mizorowski giving up 5 runs in the second inning, including a grand slam. Things started to unravel after that. Manager Pat Murphy.
He'd have it for one pitch and didn't, and then you could just see the ball wasn't coming out of his fingers the same, and you could see the frustration building, and that's too good of a team and too good of a lineup. You know, this is the days you realize how good these guys are, all major league players. It's so tough to perform at the highest level and be consistent. When you're off a little bit, it can be the difference, and Miz just wasn't in sync.
So tonight it'll be Jose Quintana on the mound against New York's left-hander David Peterson. The Cubs beat the Guardians 5-4. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm late this afternoon and tonight. Otherwise, partly cloudy today. We'll get to 82 for a high this afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny for the 4th of July. It's going to be hot and humid with a high of 88 and a heat index pushing the low to mid-90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thunder snaps to 500-gram aerials. Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, you'll hear Matt Rothschild in the guest host chair helping you and your family gear up for a big July 4th weekend. He's got thoughts, and I want to hear them. So do you. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 3rd, 2025. Parker Olson's down in Madison at Studio A2. And coming up this hour, we will review, of course, all the goings-on overnight, where the state budget was passed by the Senate, then passed by the Assembly early this morning, and then signed into law by Governor Evers at 1:30 this morning. Why the race? Because the federal budget that Donald Trump wants is going to do tremendous damage, or would have done more damage had the state budget not passed first. That federal budget, it hasn't passed the House yet, but overnight, all of the House Republicans who said they were going to stand up to the president all took a knee by the time all was said and done, and they all voted for a rule that allows it to come up for a final vote. That should be happening any time now in the House of Representatives, and then Donald Trump will get his 4th of July ceremony for a bill that is going to do generational harm to the country. But he gets the photo op, and will kick into place an immense transfer of wealth from the middle class to the upper class and rip away health care from tens of millions of Americans. So, mission accomplished. Along with the budget matters, we're also going to talk about the landmark ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday that invalidates the 1849 law that was purportedly an abortion ban, though I never believed it was based on the actual interpretation of it. But regardless, the ruling and reaction to it has provided to us an early window into the 2026 campaign for a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat, with challenger Chris Taylor saying that right-wing Justice Rebecca Bradley's dissent in the case was an unhinged political rant devoid of reasoned legal analysis. And that's putting it kindly, though it's par for the course for Justice Rebecca Bradley, whose term will be up next spring, and if she chooses to run for re-election, and it looks like she will, she'll be challenged by Dane County Judge or Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor. So we'll review some of what the justices had to say on both sides of this landmark case. And a little bit later on, Todd Alba will get us ready for this 4th of July weekend, find out what he's got going on for plans. And then, of course, next week he'll be up here in Chippewa Falls for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. No Brittany Merlot this week. We'll hope to get her back next week to give us weather updates. Obviously, you can get updates throughout the course of the day on your local Civic Media station. From Rob in Tigerton, let's see it. There it is. Happy birthday, Pat. I hope you have an awesome day. It's sunny and 63 in Tigerton. We had 6/10 of an inch of rain with 1/4 inch hail. Wow. He says there was storm damage in the Pike Lake area, in the Hatley area, in southeastern Marathon County. Says he got his Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday before the storms came in, and he's got 3 yards to mow today. He did mention that his grandma, Griepentrog, who passed away in 2010, shares this birthday with me. And in our discussion about Lasagna Awareness Month, he mentions that he loves crockpot lasagna, the best lasagna dish around. I don't know if I've... Parker, have you had crockpot lasagna?
I don't even know if I've heard of that, no.
Well...
I'm intrigued.
I've heard of it.
Now I'm aware of it. Yeah.
It is... And again, I'm tooting my own horn here, but it was a happy accident. I just happened to have found a lasagna recipe. My lasagna is amazing, if I do say so myself. And I would love to take that skill and turn it into like a ragu, a short rib ragu at some point. I've tried that once or twice. Yeah. I haven't quite perfected that recipe yet. Apparently, there is an Italian chef somewhere inside of me dying to get out.
He's just workshopping it.
I'm workshopping it for retirement. From Michael and Tosa, happy birthday, Pat. I did not have lasagna last night, but it's cousin cavatini. Ooh, that's always nice, too. From Scott and Madison on the text line, just a thought, but probably the best way to get a single-payer program is to let the Republicans absolutely destroy our healthcare system. Maybe. I would not like us to go to that extreme to get there, but that too is on the comment line. And you can put your comments up on Facebook or YouTube as well. If you're listening on the radio and going, what do these guys look like? Well, if you want to scare the villagers that way, turn on your computer and you'll find us over on Facebook or YouTube, the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages, or on my own Facebook page, which is facebook.com/morningswithpatkreitlow. And you can put comments in there. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's all the comments I've got here that I want to put up. Let's tell you about the Brewers real quick before we get into some of the news, because the Brewers split a doubleheader yesterday, a day-night doubleheader. In the day game, they looked awesome, beating the Mets 7-2. Joey Ortiz had a grand slam. Freddie Peralta did a fine job there on the mound in game one. And then, I mean, we all thought game two was kind of in the bag, right? Because Jacob Mizorowski was going to be pitching. And we know what his first three starts have been like, Parker. So, I mean, we all kind of counted our chickens on that one, didn't we?
A little bit. I had a little bit higher hopes for that game.
Yeah, but instead he served up back-to-back homers, the first of them a grand slam, and only lasted 3 2/3 innings, giving up 5 runs, 5 hits, and 3 walks in a 7-3 loss to the New York Mets. So, you know, this is a guy that started his career with 11 hitless innings over his first couple of starts.
I suppose he has have to flatten out a little, yeah.
Yeah, well, yes, I would hope so. And so anyway, it wasn't all him. There was like a really lucky infield hit that set the scene for the grand slam. And, Mizorowski again, who seems to be a little wiser than his age. Certainly his skills are above as well. I liked his quote afterwards. He said, "It's done. Use the old Tiger Woods approach and move on to the next hit. Move on to the next pitch. It is what it is. I got a loss, but oh well." It's frustrating, but at the same time, you know, a young career, it's good figuring it out. Not when we're in the playoffs, when it matters most. So I like that attitude.
Yeah, smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Alicia, you radio guys aren't ugly. Well, see, we got that going for us.
I guess. I was told I have a face for radio, though.
I know. It's something had to get us in here all this time. But so thanks to everybody for that. Now, the Brewers, meanwhile, they go on to play one more game against the Mets in Queens at Citi Field. I finally learned to say Citi Field and stop wanting to say Shea Stadium because, again, showing off my age. Brewers and Mets, the pregame coverage begins at 5:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. All right, we will come back to the state budget and it being passed and quickly signed into law a little later, as well as the federal budget plan of Donald Trump's that is coming up for a vote in the House of Representatives anytime now. But let's take a second to talk about the big news from yesterday out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where the court they just threw out that 1849 law that was purported to be an abortion ban, saying in essence that there have been so many other abortion-related laws since that time regulating the procedure that the original, that 1849 law, has been superseded. That there are plenty of statutes that criminalize abortions, you know, only after a fetus cannot survive outside the womb. This was not a surprise. Okay, when the court flipped to progressive control with the election of Janet Protasiewicz, Janet Protasiewicz had made clear where she stood on women having the right to determine their own health care and their own bodies. This whole thing came up, of course, because 3 years ago, the so-called Dobbs decision allowed some extremist justices on the U.S. Supreme Court to repeal Roe v. Wade and the protections that had been there for nearly 50 years prior. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin Chief Strategy Officer Michelle Velasquez called the ruling a victory for patients and for basic human dignity, though she also expressed disappointment because the court also dismissed a second case. It was a Planned Parenthood lawsuit seeking a declaration that Wisconsinites have a constitutional right to an abortion. She said, at a time when politicians are doing everything in their power to strip away rights, Congress is voting literally right now to defund Planned Parenthood and block millions of people from the care we rely on. In one of the concurring opinions, Chief Justice Jill Karofsky shared the stories of four different women who lost their lives because they lived in states with abortion bans. And she included in that list her great-grandmother, who in 1929 tried to end a pregnancy and bled to death. She noted in Dobbs that in sending the impact back to the legislature, sending abortion back to the legislature in the Dobbs decision, Karofsky writes, the impact was cataclysmic. Among the sobering post-Dobbs statistics, I point to just one, Karofsky writes. During the two-year period after the Dobbs decision, in the 14 states with abortion restrictions, it has been estimated that rapists have caused 65,000 pregnancies. And because only five of those 14 abortion ban states have exceptions for pregnancies caused by rape, it has been further estimated that almost 59,000 of the individuals impregnated by rape could not receive abortion-related care in this state. She's simply affirming what we've been talking about for 3 years, that we've gone from what people consider to be abortion on demand, which was never the case, but to essentially impregnation on demand. If you want to rape somebody and get them pregnant, it's easier now than it ever has been because of politicians that want to control your bodies. Well, Justice Rebecca Bradley, who's up next year, had a lot to say about it. And in typical Rebecca Bradley fashion, it was personal with a lot of invectives and a lot of political language that was in there, personally directed at the progressive justices. And thankfully, somebody's now standing up to that, and that would be Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, who released a statement saying that throughout her career as an attorney, legislator, and judge, I've been committed to ensuring that everyone has access to justice and our courts protect the fundamental rights of all Wisconsinites. Today's decision by a majority of justices correctly renders the 1849 law unenforceable, protecting an individual's right to make their most personal, private decisions about their bodies and their lives. In contrast to the majority opinion, Chris Taylor writes, Justice Rebecca Bradley's dissent constitutes an unhinged political rant devoid of reasoned legal analysis. Using politically charged language unsuited for any judge, let alone a Supreme Court justice, Justice Rebecca Bradley continues to be more concerned with forcing her own right-wing agenda onto the people of our state than protecting our most basic constitutional rights and freedoms. And if you happen to hear what sounded like applause at some point yesterday, it was probably me first reading this and applauding, because I have been watching or reading Rebecca Bradley's dissents over the past couple of years and her decisions over the past decade. And it is far past time that somebody finally stand up to them and call them out for the unhinged political rants that they are. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll cover more of the day's news when we're all back together in about 15 minutes from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As you celebrate Independence Day, Century Companies would like to ask you a favor. When you see a military veteran, thank them for their service to our country. Specializing in fence, traffic, and security solutions, Century Companies is a family-owned and family-focused safety and security contractor located in Pewaukee with over 100 years of industry experience. To learn more, visit their website, centurycompanies.us. That's centurycompanies.us. Century Companies, helping build a better and safer world.
If you need to hire, it seems like the whole process can be exhausting. You search resumes, wait for the right candidates to apply, set up initial interviews. It's a lot of time and work. Well, what if you could meet with qualified candidates for your job the very next day? Now you can, with Zip Intro from ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro is super easy to use. You simply pick a time, and it does all the work of finding and scheduling qualified candidates for you. Then you can choose who you want to talk to and meet with great people on back-to-back video calls as soon as the next day. Best of all, you save time and energy.
Try Zip Intro for free right now at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro. Post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and I'm here to tell you what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. 4th of July is coming up, as you know, and there are going to be events all over the cities, all over the state, all over the country, but one of the biggest ones happening takes place in Racine with the 4th Fest. This is more than just a parade. This is a full city-blown event that attracts people from all over the state, all over the country to watch and see the participants who are strolling down Main Street. I've been to it many times. It is something to behold. And to give you more information on it, Don Rosen sat down with David Mack, who is on the 4th Fest committee, to talk about everything that will be happening this coming Friday for your 4th of July celebration in Racine.
We're going to talk 4th Fest. David Mack is with me this morning. He's on the 4th Fest committee. He's involved in everything. I don't know. I don't know where you find all the time. You give tours at SC Johnson. You are our 4th District Alder. Here's your choice. A little bit of rain or sunny and hot and highs in the 90s for the 4th of July. A
little bit of rain in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
To cool things down. But we can't have rain on the parade.
Yeah.
And we can't have rain for the fireworks. We've had it a couple times where it rained while we were waiting for the fireworks, and it kind of dampened the crowd. We didn't have as big of a turnout as we would have liked, but still got the fireworks off. I don't know if the fireworks have ever been canceled because of rain. I do know one year I was driving in the parade. I wasn't an alderman yet. I had a couple aldermen in my car. I believe it was late Ron Hart, who just passed away last week, and Michael Shields. So they're sitting in the back of the convertible. We get to the Golden Rondelle, which is the official end of the parade, and I start to put the hood up on the convertible, and boom, it's just pouring rain. Good thing those guys were in the front of the parade, but I'm sure quite a few people got wet.
You know, and we used to broadcast the parade on radio, and to do that, we had this, what they call a Marty pole. It's a giant pole. They got the signal back to the station 25 feet high. And one morning we set it up, and there was a big bolt of lightning. I said, get that thing down. It's the tallest thing around here. Get it down. I don't need to be struck by lightning.
Well, but I was going through some old pictures, and WRGN had a north side location on Main Street for quite a while.
The bank building.
No.
Which one are you talking about?
The Rosen residence.
Oh, yeah, that location. Yeah, we had it right on my front lawn.
Yep.
That was good. It worked out real well.
Found some pictures of you shoving a microphone in the face of Paul Ryan and David Mack and sure. other people.
You were riding the cart. Everybody else was walking.
Yeah. Well, that was my job. I had to ride in the cart.
Yeah, right. That's good. I was talking to
the parade marshal.
You could have walked.
Yeah, parade marshals.
Hey,
I don't
blame you. Notice I'm not walking this year.
You should. You should walk in behind the car that says WRGN on it because you're the local personality, right?
Well, Lou Bergani's going to drive his classic car. He's got these old cars,
and you're going to sit in the passenger seat waving. What you should do is WRGN Don Rosen, and you should walk like all the politicians do.
You know, I was just talking to the mayor the other day. He was in here, and he's going to walk the whole route. It's like 2 point
Usually
something miles.
He rides in that little electric steering
vehicle. He's walking.
Oh, good for him.
But I don't know, 90 degrees, you better have a lot of water with you.
Yeah.
Because you're really going to
He's probably going to have his little sweater vest and his blue blazer on, so.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, he's going to get a little warm.
Now, the good thing is it's early in the morning, so it won't be 90 degrees in the morning. It's going to be still hot and sweaty.
It'll be hot. Believe me, it'll be hot.
Okay, so. I was at the driver's meeting the other day, and they said there's 140 units this year.
I had not heard the latest count, but that is a lot.
That's more. It's usually like 111, 112. Right. How'd it get to 140?
Civic pride.
That's a lot of people. Now, normally it's about a 2.5 hour to 3 hour parade.
Yeah. It'll still be, but it takes a lot of time to get those units moving. You know, we ask people to be down there and ready by 7:30. And then you're looking like, what? I got to be down there at 7:30?
No, I get here at 5:30 in the morning. 7:30 is sleeping in late. No, I'm good.
And then, in your cars by 8:30 because, we're getting ready to roll. But those are the units up front. There's a whole bunch way in the back that they don't get off the parade route, I think, until like 11 o'clock. So it's for some, it's a lot of waiting. For others, boom, they're out the gate, out the chute right away. But it's logistically, it's a lot of moving pieces. Oh. We have 4 or 5 side streets where we stage units, and then you have people that are working those side streets, making sure everybody's in place. And then when you start to get them moved, you have like those flight controllers, FAA, what do they call it? Is it flight controllers?
Yeah.
Yeah. That are kind of directing traffic and, they're pointing over here and, move over here and wait, you hold, this one goes. And you might have a unit on the side street coming out. But then you got to get the bigger unit on Main Street to follow behind it. So, I mean, it's a lot of orchestration that goes into getting this going.
That was just a portion of the discussion that Don Rosen had with David Mack from the 4th Fest Committee. And if you want to find out more, go to Racine4thFest.org. That's Racine4thFest.org for more information. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'm going to talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin is ranked second in the nation for having the most organic farms. Now, the Food Finance Institute is looking to help these organic growers with a new program called Naturally Wisconsin. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. The program essentially seeks to boost the market for organic products. Jamie Valenti-Jordan is the Food Brand Program Manager with the Food Finance Institute. He tells us about the types of businesses or services that can work with Naturally Wisconsin.
Within our space, of course, we have brands. That's the most commonly recognized group. But it's not just emerging brands, not just established brands. It's also our supply chain up and downstream. So that's going to be inclusive of our agricultural sector, our agricultural supply, our ag tech, but also our ingredient suppliers that are going to process those materials, our packaging and equipment suppliers that are going to be a part of that as well, all the way through to our service providers, those that specialize in the food industry with respect to, working on legal or marketing as well.
Jamie Valenti-Jordan says you can learn more about Naturally Wisconsin by visiting the Food Finance Institute online. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
In my County Farm Bureau, I'm more than a member. I'm an advocate for local farms and families. Serving on the board has given me a chance to create real change in our community. From organizing volunteer opportunities to promoting agriculture at local events, we connect our neighbors to the farms that feed them. Together, we're building a stronger and well-informed community. Join us and make a difference today.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing: to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
In other agribusiness news on a Thursday, local food dollars are getting applause from food processors. In the tentative budget agreement between the governor and the Republican-led legislature, $10 million has been secured toward the Food Security Initiative grant program. This is through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association says it's going to increase access to nutritious dairy products like milk and cheese, as well as meat, fruits, and vegetables from Wisconsin food processors during a time when food banks are seeing record demand. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or a thunderstorm late this afternoon and tonight. Otherwise, partly cloudy today. We'll get to 82 for a high this afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny for the 4th of July. It's going to be hot and humid with a high of 88 and a heat index pushing the low to mid-90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue our discussion about funding childcare with Trisha Peterson. We talk sports in hour number two with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back to our Mornings on Lake Wasota, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along on this July 3rd, and thank everybody for the greetings along the way. And also a lot of comments, because there's a lot of news. There was the state Supreme Court decision yesterday throwing out the 1849 so-called abortion ban, so that's gone now. You have a federal budget that's going to do tremendous harm, and the House of Representatives will be voting on that shortly if it hasn't started by now. And then you had a state budget that was rushed to get passed ahead of the federal budget and the damage that it would have done to helping pay for health care in Wisconsin. But in rushing it through, it led to more no votes from people that said this is not right to be rushing this process when more needs to be done on the budget. In fact, I think this is all captured really well by Cassandra on YouTube. She writes, "I have so many feelings about the state budget. I feel like it made some improvements, but at the same time, it didn't. I think it's better than not passing a budget at all." Tony puts on YouTube, "Let's be honest, this is powered by coffee and brought to you by Up North News." Fair point, Tony. But it's in the title. It's powered by Up North News and coffee. There's going to be a lot of time to outline the things that work in this bill. There are tax cuts amounting to $1.3 billion. There is the spending of hundreds of millions of dollars on overdue building projects throughout our university campuses. There is an expansion of Medicaid funding. There is a big increase in funding for special education. There is funding for new child care programs. There's also an expansion of the second lowest tax bracket to include more filers. It exempts some retirement income from taxation. It eliminates the residential utilities sales tax, and it creates a film tax credit of up to $5 million a year. But it will also cost more to get a driver's license and buy license plates and title a vehicle. And then there are all the ways that it could have been better and the things that were missing. And over the break, I was looking, and it feels like you get a press release from every legislator, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's very tough to pick and choose what to share here, as far as especially from the legislators who voted no. And a lot of it has to deal with education funding. Lauren putting up, the federal government is withholding education funding from schools. There are no real wins for schools right now. And that is definitely reflected in the press releases that came from many of the Democrats who voted no. For example, Assembly Assistant Democratic Leader Kaylin Haywood of Milwaukee said it is disgraceful that our state budget has been so negatively influenced by the recklessness of federal Republicans. The rushed process led to a budget that failed to put people first and neglect the needs of so many Wisconsinites. He talked about the Democratic amendments that were put up that would have addressed some of these gaps, increased funding for K-12 and for mental health, expand Medicaid, provide real property tax relief, provide more resources for lead pipe remediation. Unfortunately, he writes, Republican leadership ignored these proposals. It was, again, lacking expanding postpartum Medicaid coverage. There's no paid family leave in there. There are no additional school aides. There's no funding for mentorship programs. And that's all in the press release from Kaylin Haywood here. Let's see. Let me grab a couple of others. We had Senator Dora Drake here, also from the Milwaukee area, saying that after months of chaos and years of ineffective governance, legislative Republicans have failed to secure votes in their own caucus, and they came to us in the midnight hour for a bailout at the expense of our state losing almost $1 billion in federal funds. And she again cites that there are definitely some good things in the budget, but it is the lack of general school funding for districts across Wisconsin that means that the carousel of referendums is just going to go on and on and on, which means that property taxes are going to keep going up as the legislature, controlled by Republicans, continues into a 16th year of underfunding schools compared to the rate of inflation. Now, on the other hand, And yes, I'm going to be playing this game because, again, it was there are things to like, there are things to hate. Tony's got some real perspective on this when he writes on YouTube. Take everything that was removed from the governor's original budget, and that's your platform for what you get with a Democratic majority in 2026. Everyone can sing from the same hymnal. He says, we got concessions with fair maps. Now we'll get progress with a majority. This is the best possible deal for now. It was decided when the votes were counted last November. And again, it's not great. He's right, but it's not great. You know, Lauren counters on Facebook, the Common School Fund will have a decrease of over $2 million per year. And so I have to sympathize or empathize with everybody who sees the good things in here, but who also knows so much more could have been done and that maybe a little more pressure could have been brought to bear on Republicans to put some of those things in the bill, but it had to be rushed because of the, you know, the turkey in Washington, D.C. that is being, you know, rushed through Congress instead. And when I say being rushed, I mean, again, the, heading to D.C. now, those House members, those House Republicans, I'll tell you, there were, as of 3 a.m. Eastern time, there were still five Republicans who had voted no on what was up for consideration last night. In fact, let me back up and explain that. There wasn't a vote on the bill last night, the Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. The vote was on a rule to advance the bill to a final vote. So it's a procedural vote, but it was a big deal. If enough Republicans, if more than three Republicans had voted for that, you know, for the rule, it would not have advanced to a vote. It would have killed it without them having to vote no on the bill, but simply voting no on the rule of having a vote. And they were adamant. They were saying, we're sending this back. You know, we gave a bill to the Senate. It was a good bill. They ruined it. Now it's coming back to us and they want to jam it down our throats. We don't have to. The 4th of July thing is totally artificial. The way it's supposed to work, they said, is the House passes something, the Senate passes something. The House says, we'll take some of it. The Senate says, well, okay, we'll take some of that. And it may ping pong back and forth, you know, four or five times before it's all said and done. And House Republicans were right to say, why should we just let the Senate jam us simply for an artificial deadline at the 4th of July? And so the vote was held open. The vote was supposed to be open for something like 30 minutes. It became 90 minutes. It became a couple of hours. It went into past midnight. And at 3 a.m., five of these Republicans who had voted no on the rule, four of them caved by 5 a.m. Eastern time. They had changed their votes to yes, and then the vote was taken, and Republicans supporting Trump had the votes necessary to advance the bill and send it to a final vote. And that's what's going to be taking place. But as of a couple of minutes ago, Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York has been holding the floor now for at least 3 hours, speaking ahead of the vote. And again, he's not going to be able to stop the vote. But it is a way to call attention to all of the things that are in the bill that, you know, either Democrats don't like or that Republicans shouldn't like because of the increased debt. Again, $4 trillion added to the deficit. Congressman Seth Magaziner, Democrat of Rhode Island, said, when we say the Republican Party has turned into a cult, this is what we mean. Our Republican colleagues are pushing a bill that would throw their constituents under the bus, a bill that flies in the face of everything they claim to stand for, all because Donald Trump wants a bill signing photo op by the 4th of July. It does more, by the way. The bill also supercharges ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. And so you will see, if you think you're seeing secret police kidnappings now off our streets, wait until there are 10,000 new ICE agents and 100,000 new detention beds. Trump's border czar said, you think we're arresting people now? Wait till we get the funding. Which leads me to this point, by the way. Before they go hiring 10,000 new agents, and forgive the sexism here, but I'm going to assume that a big chunk of those are going to be men. And like I've said before, in this country, a whole lot of men are approaching a fork in the road when it comes to an embrace of authoritarianism and toxic masculinity versus a modern world which does not defer to men simply because they're men. And I just want to remind those men approaching that fork in the road of whether to be one of these secret police or to do something more useful to society, that if later on, when the tide finally turns and you say, I was just following orders, or I just needed a job, that's not going to cut it when this is all said and done. One more point about immigration from Trump. In a Fox News interview, Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers and people in hotels and hospitality, but especially about farmers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass to address farmers' concerns. He described the effort as something where, quote, people pay taxes and where the farmer can have a little control, as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. What does he mean by the farmer has a little control on whether there are like immigration raids on their property or not? Do you realize what he's describing? He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are even more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. Now, I'm not making farmers out to be the bad guys in these. I'm not saying that they want to be vassals in this medieval model of peasants and vassals. But Trump wouldn't mind it. That's Trump's world. That's what Trump wants. I mean, what's next? That farmers' children can avoid being sent to war in Iran if they send the children of the Mexicans working their land in their place? And if that sounds far-fetched, go look at your own family tree. Because mine certainly has that. The Kreitlows came to this country because four out of five, there was a youngest one who stayed behind, but four of the five were facing the prospect of conscription because whoever it was that owned the land that the Kreitlows were farming on in Germany or the German-Polish border back in the day, we're facing the prospect of being sent into another one of the German Empire's wars. They didn't want to do that. And they, like a lot of other Germans, a lot of other Europeans, saw the prospect of a better life in America, and they came here, and kind of like the three little pigs, they all went their separate ways, and it's been fascinating to follow these four different brothers and where they all settled. One was a farmer, one was a mason, my great-great-great-grandfather. Others went into other fields, and it was all fascinating, but it was in part the result of this feudalism that Trump is exactly talking about when he says the farmer can have a little control over this. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants. It's what Donald Trump knows best. And there's no stopping it until next year. And you really ought to consider stopping it next year before you hear all the other campaign commercials that start running. More after this. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't scroll past summer. Experience it live at Summerfest. See your favorite artists, grab your go-to fest food, and make memories you'll talk about all year. Because it's more than just a music festival. It's your summer highlight reel. Don't miss Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance, June 19th through 21st, June 26th through 28th, and July 3rd through 5th. The stories you tell this summer, they start at Summerfest. Get tickets now at summerfest.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other about what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and I'm here to tell you what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Even if you're just a casual listener or reader of the news, you can't get away from the current state of the Big Beautiful Bill, or as it's so-called in Washington. Right now it has passed the Senate, but it is currently in the House for further review and a final vote. What we want to talk about today is a program here in Wisconsin and similar across the country that will be affected if this bill goes through, and it's going to hurt our children, specifically those who are low-income or in poverty-stricken school districts. And while this may be something that doesn't directly affect you, it may affect someone you know and love. And even if it doesn't, it's just good to be aware of what is in this bill and how it's going to hurt the voters and the people of this state. Take a listen to the conversation Jane and I had about this topic, and then stick around for some information I'll give you so you can take action on the matter and make your voice heard.
This is from WPR, a program supporting Wisconsin kids for the last 20 years. Is now at risk of losing its dedicated federal funding. Community learning centers serve 20,000 kids at over 160 sites across Wisconsin. The federal program supports kids at high poverty schools through before and after programs, offering academic and social programs and free meals for kids who need it. Last year, the State Department of Public Instruction got about $19 million to fund it. Donald Trump's budget will eliminate this grant. That's the only federal funding stream dedicated to this after-school and summer learning programs.
$19 million.
Which is it's a pittance.
It's not even. It's a pittance. It is so many zeros after that decimal point. When it comes to the totality of the U.S. budget, which I think when we talked about it last week, we were talking about a $33 million cut to a $7.6 trillion budget spending plan. $19 million.
And I guess is astonishing to me as we talk about this more and more and more, and we talk about these cuts, $12 million here, $19 million there. They're doing all these cuts, and yet this bill is going to raise the deficit by like $3
trillion. And that is something that Republicans have said out loud. This is not a Democratic talking point. This is not liberal.
Tom Tillis said that out loud.
Tom Tillis. There have been plenty of Republicans. The CBO has said this. And, you know, I hate to belie the point again and again and again, but these cuts we hear about just are based in cruelty. Like, this is, they just want to cut anything that helps people. $19 million to help kids, and you want to, again, we go over and over, Jane, about the long-term planning of it all, the lack of the long-range
goals. The lack
of
foresight.
At least from a political standpoint. From a political standpoint, say, hey, we kept this program. It was $19 million. We raised it to $22 million because it's still nothing. And we're going to take care of our kids. But you said it yourself, in high poverty schools. And the problem is Republicans, when they hear that, they think of Madison and Milwaukee immediately. Because, you know, there's no poverty anywhere else.
Obviously not.
None.
No.
Everywhere else.
Just like there's no crime either anywhere else in Wisconsin except the two biggest population centers.
Yeah. So they hear that and it's like, well, why would I cut that? Why would I keep that? Those kids, it's poverty schools. It's Madison and Milwaukee. They don't vote for us anyway. So, all this comes to a point of these cuts just seem to be, I mean, Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP, this poverty program, I mean, school for kids in poverty schools. This all is based in a level of cruelty that just seems exact and purposeful because they know that these individuals, these folks who take Medicaid, folks who take Medicare, folks who are on SNAP, they don't have bargaining power. They don't have lobbying money. They don't have the ability to walk into an office and get a meeting immediately with the person at the top. So why wouldn't they cut them? They're nothing. They don't matter to us. That's how I feel about it.
President Trump's budget will eliminate this grant again for after-school and summer learning programs. This is part of $12 billion cuts to the U.S. Department of Education that would start October 1st. This amounts to a 15% cut to the agency's budget. This would fulfill Trump's commitments to maintain funding to school districts serving kids from low-income families, but reflects an agency responsibly winding down.
Oh.
And let's not forget Donald Trump campaigned that he was going to eliminate the Department of Education. That's why Linda McMahon from the world of pro wrestling is heading up our Department of Education.
Don't forget, failed candidate for governor and senator,
too. Oh, I forgot.
Too.
That's right. She did.
And if you've watched the cavalcade of buffoonery that has been these budget conferences they've been having with the Congress, whether it's RFK Jr., Cash Patel, but in this manner, let's talk about Linda McMahon. She knows nothing about this. This person is beyond not qualified, where she constantly has to look at the people around her for answers, get notes passed to her.
She gets note cards.
And when she's bereft of words, which coming from the world of wrestling is hilarious to me, but when she's bereft of words, she does the great thing of, I'll get back to you on that.
Well, they've all done that.
Yeah, just short of saying, can I get you an answer in 2 weeks?
That is pretty much the administration response to everything.
2 weeks, everybody.
Everything's coming in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be here in 2 weeks. Trump said that over the weekend, this TikTok deal.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. TikTok deal coming in 2 weeks. We got a buyer for it. I'll tell you who it is in 2 weeks. Okay.
This is just a portion of the conversation we had regarding this topic. And if you want to make your voice heard, go to myvote.wi.gov and you can find your representatives' information, their phone numbers and their email addresses, and you can talk to them directly. Call their offices, as we always say in the show, be kind and respectful, but make your voice heard. Tell them to reconsider these funding measures in the federal budget because you are the people and your voice is to be heard. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our free newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'm going to talk to you in about 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. For well over 2 hours, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries has been making remarks on the House floor as lawmakers are inching closer to a final vote to pass the president's big tax and spending bill.
This reckless Republican budget is an immoral document, and everybody should vote no.
The June jobs report was just released and showed the economy added 147,000 jobs last month, down from May. The unemployment rate was down slightly to 4.1%. Federal government continued to lose jobs. Job gains were seen in state government and health care. Four people are dead, at least 14 injured from a drive-by shooting outside a nightclub in Chicago late last night. Street pastor Donovan Price.
People wanting to find their other people, find who was alive, finding who was, you know, where their phones were, because they dropped them in the chaos.